We're going to be turning to God's Word after we've sung our next song. Gareth is going to be opening up the last part of Haggai to us. If you don't know Gareth, most of us I think do, Gareth is a member here and about to plant a new church up in the Turkey Street region, but it's great to have you with us for the time being, and we're looking forward to God speaking through you. So shall I pray for Gareth, and then we'll stand and we'll sing. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word to us, and we thank you for Gareth. Thank you for the long history he has here with Silver Street and the blessing that he is to us in so many ways. But we thank you also for the excitement of Turkey Street and everything that lies in the weeks and the months ahead. In this moment, please would you speak through him? Would he simply be a mouthpiece for you, the living Lord God Almighty, to speak to us, your people, with exactly what we need to hear? And so we ask that you give us hearts that are ready to hear and to respond, and lives that are ready to obey in the light of what we hear from your word today. Would you show us Christ? Would you help us to glorify you through your word and now as we sing a song together in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. Let's stand if we're able. Let's sing.
Great God of highest heaven, occupy my lonely heart. Own it all and reign supreme, conquer every rebel power. Let no vice or sin remain that resists your holy. Be yours forevermore. I was blinded by my sin, had no ears to hear your voice, did not know your love within, had no taste for heaven's joy. Then your spirit on your grace. Keep my heart and guide my soul from the evils that I face. You are worthy to be praised with my every thought and deed. O great God of highest heaven, glorify your name. You are worthy to be praised with my every thought and deed. O great God of highest heaven, glorify your name through me.
Right, please take seats. Hopefully, you can open your Bibles to Haggai. Good morning, everyone, by the way.
Good morning.
Sorry. I was just straight in the zone there, wasn't I? Anybody got a page number? Page number for Haggai? 949.
Sort myself out.
So we're going to be reading the last bit of Haggai, chapter 2.
Verse 20. And this is what the Lord says. The word of the Lord came to Haggai a second time on the
going to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers, horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is God's... I don't think so. No, I'm okay. Can you hear me all right? Yeah? Let's pray as we look at... Mighty. And all too often we have too much of a small view of you. Help us now to see how mighty you are and to see ourselves in light of who you are and what you are doing in your world and in our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for your glory. Do you want that this morning? Do you want to see how big God is this morning?
Yeah.
Yes. And how small you are?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, that's a good thing. I wonder how you're feeling about the world at the moment. How are you feeling about the world at the moment? World events. So we've got the wars all over the world, Ukraine and Israel. We've got countries seeking to become the next economic, military, political superpower. We've got the rising persecution of the church around the world. And closer to home, we've got the toing and throwing of our own government as they wrestle with trying to have power in our country. And we are the collateral damage. We have the slow decline of certain church denominations in our country. There is a lot of big stuff going on in the world. And it can make us feel like small little fish, surrounded by bigger fish, bigger, badder fish, in a big, big pond that seems like it's out of control. Now that is the backdrop as we seek to think about what it looks like to build God's church here in Edmonton, and then across his world. I wonder what words you would use to describe what I've just talked about. Maybe you would use the word overwhelmed. Maybe you would use the word discouraged. What does God have to say about what I've just described? Well, as we look here in Haggai chapter 2, verse 20, as we look at this tiny little section, I hope this morning that this will reassure you, that it will give you a renewed confidence in what God is doing right now in Edmonton and in his words. And if you're a Christian here this morning, let me just put it up on the screen. If you're a Christian here this morning, I want you to remember this. God wins, so keep building his church. After three, one, two, three. God wins, so keep building his church. You see, the circumstances we find ourselves in were very similar to the circumstances that the people of Haggai's time found themselves in. They felt like very small fish who had been conquered by a bigger, badder fish. It was called the Kingdom of Babylon. They had captured God's people. They had taken them away from their home, the city of Jerusalem. And then during their 70 years of captivity, a bigger, badder fish came and conquered Babylon, the Persian Empire. Now, as we've seen in the last few weeks, God eventually allowed his people to come back from the city of Babylon to rebuild the temple, to rebuild the rest of the city, but always under the watchful eye of the Persian kingdom. To build this temple surrounded by nations and threatened by them. They felt like very small fish, surrounded by bigger, badder fish in a pond that seemed out of control. And this message that he brings here at the end of Haggai is a message that he wants to give the people to renew their endeavor, to keep going with the building work. And like them, we don't need to worry. God is building his church, and he is in control of all of these superpowers, all of these kingdoms. He will establish his kingdom forever, we will find out in a minute. So if you're a Christian here this morning, remember, God wins, so keep building his church. I had in my notes here that you would say that along with me, so I'll just go back. So I want you to remember this morning that God wins, so keep building his church. Okay, good, well done. Stay with me. So let's look down at verse 20. The word of the Lord came to Haggai a second time on the 24th day of the month. Tell Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, that I am going to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of the foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers, horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. Now this is a personal message to Zerubbabel from the Lord via Haggai. And it's to Zerubbabel because he's the guy that is going to lead God's people. Previously, what was going on in Haggai was bringing a message to Zerubbabel, to Joshua, to the people as a whole. But here, it's specifically to Zerubbabel. Before, it was about specific circumstances. But now, what God does is he zooms out and he gives us a cosmic view of what is going on across the universe, across his worlds. And he reminds us that he will judge. Look down again at the verses. He says, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth. That is, that God will judge, is judging, and will judge the nations. What will he do? He will overturn royal thrones. He will shatter the power of foreign kingdoms and overthrow the chariots and riders. They will fall. God wins. He is in control, and ultimately, he will judge. Now, this isn't the first time we've seen something like this. Just for the sake of this is just a wonderful thing. I found this really encouraging as I looked at this week. Go back in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 2. As we get a big cosmic view of what is going on in God's world. If you get a page number, shout it out. Daniel chapter 2. I think it's 886 in your Bibles. Oh, it was 885 in your Bible, is it? Daniel chapter 2, it's verse 36, so it's probably across the page. 886, Daniel chapter 2, verse 36. So with this in mind, this is a book that is written for the people during the exile, during the time they were away. What's happened is, this is in the early years of the 70 years of captivity. They're in Babylon, and God has given the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, a dream. And in this dream, he has a dream of a statue. And this statue is made up of different layers. And in this dream, a rock comes and it smashes the statue. The king has no idea what this dream's about. And yet, God gives Daniel the ability to interpret this dream. And this is what Daniel says about the dream. Chapter 2 of Daniel, verse 36. This was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king, your majesty. You are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed all mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds in the sky. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You are the head of gold. After you, another kingdom will arise, inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. I'll just skip down to verse 44. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and its interpretation is trustworthy. Do you see it? Do you see the work of God in his cosmic creation, as it were? That these kingdoms will rise like Babylon, and then the next kingdom will come, and the next kingdom will come, and the next kingdom will come, and God is in control of all of that. He is orchestrating his plan, orchestrating his promises. And he will establish the rock of his kingdom forever. This rock will smash these kingdoms. That is good news for Zerubbabel back in Haggai, isn't it? As he thinks about leading the people with all this going on. And it's good news for us here today. And we'll have a little look at that in a minute. Ah, but there is more good news. Look down at verse 23. On that day, are you all back in Haggai? I'll give you a chance. Hang on. Catch up. We're on page 949, Haggai 2, verse 23. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring. For I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. Here is more good news. This is part two of the promise. So let's just unpack that for a little bit. What did the Lord say Haggai was like? Did you spot it? What did he say he was like? A signet ring. What's a signet ring? Let me just... What's a signet ring? Well, a signet ring is something that you would wear normally on your right hand. It was a sign that you had the royal seal of approval. It was a sign that you had the power and authority, the backing of a king, basically. And whoever had this ring had that authority. Now, this is significant because there was a problem with Zerubbabel's grandfather. I'm going to put another verse up on the screen. Oh, do you want to put it on me for me, guys? There it is. You see, Zerubbabel's grandfather was also likened to a signet ring. Here's what it says in Jeremiah. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, even if you, Jehoiachin, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, even if you were a signet ring on my right hand, God says, I will pull you off. I will deliver you into the hands of those who want to kill you, those you fear, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and the Babylonians. You see, Zerubbabel's grandfather, King Jeconiah, he did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And because he did evil in the eyes of the Lord separated himself from him and from his people, like taking off a signet ring. And as the Lord did that, he broke the relationship because of the unfaithfulness of his people. And he sent them away into exile. Now, this is hugely significant. Now, you need to stay with me in this bit, okay? You with me? If you feel like you're drifting, drift back in. Because there was another promise. A promise that God had made, actually to Abraham, but more specifically to David. He had promised to David this awesome king, the best king that had ever lived in terms of the history of Israel up to that point. He had promised that he would have a kingly line. And that somewhere along this kingly line, there would come a king, a Messiah, who would live forever, who would establish the kingdom. And now, because God takes off his signet ring, the line has been cut. It is significant. And so when we look at verse 23, and he says to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, I will make you like my signet ring. It's as if the Lord is saying, I'm putting the signet ring back on. I'm restoring the line. The hope that you thought had gone is now there again. In fact, it'd always been there. You just needed to go into exile. Now, this promise wasn't for Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel wasn't fulfilling this promise. He wasn't the Messiah. He isn't the Messiah. It is true that the Lord was with Zerubbabel. He was helping him. He was guiding him as he led the people. But this led and pointed to a much bigger thing. He was declaring that now this line has been restored, the plan is back on track. In fact, get ready. The Messiah is coming. The rock that smashes these kingdoms is coming. Now turn in your Bibles to Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. It's on page 965. So here is a list. It's the line of Abraham and David, like a family tree. There in halfway through verse 6, it says David was the father of Solomon. Then it gives the family tree going from David. And when you go to verse 11, it says Josiah, the father of Jeconiah. That is Zerubbabel's granddad. The one who was like a signet ring that had been taken off and sent into exile. Verse 12, and after the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the father of Abihud. And so on, all the way down to verse 16. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. And Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. It's Jesus! What a surprise. It's Jesus. He is the all-conquering forever king. The all-conquering forever king. He is the Lord's signet ring. The one who died on the cross, who conquered his enemies, conquered death, conquered sin, defeated Satan. The one who will come back and smash all the kingdoms. And we must not be surprised then when we see the world the way it is. Jesus will come back and he will put everything right. But in Matthew 24, Jesus also says this. Oh, let's go back again. There it is. Oh, I've missed it. Let me read it. Oh, sorry, I've missed it off the slide. Verse chapter 24. He says this: "You will hear of wars and rumours of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of birth pains." Jesus wants us to know this is the world that we live in. There will be wars, there will be kingdoms that rise against kingdoms. But God wins. What must we do? Anyone remember? Keep building his church. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian. And one of the reasons you're not yet a Christian is because you think, well, the world is so messed up, surely there cannot be a God. And if there is a God, what kind of a God is he that this world is so out of control? Maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, why doesn't he just come back now and put it all to an end? Here's some words from 1 Peter. I've got them on the screen, thank goodness for that. "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." You see, God has got this all in his timing. And if that's what you're thinking, he has given you time to turn back to him. That's why he says, "But everyone to come to repentance." He hasn't come back to give you time to come back to him. Because you're on the losing side. God is winning and will win. He will judge, and that also includes you. And the only way to cross over from the losing to the winning side is to trust Jesus. To trust that he is God's forever King. To trust that you need to love him, to follow him, to ask for his forgiveness, for him to take your sin away. I would love to speak to you about that. If you're here this morning and that's you, please come and speak to me or speak to Luke or Patrick or Jonathan or even any member of the church. I would love to talk to you about that. But maybe you're here this morning and you're a Christian. And maybe like I feel like sometimes, you feel like a very small fish surrounded by bigger, badder fish in a big pond that feels out of control. Can I give you just one example of how small I feel sometimes? I used to go into London, and sometimes I would walk across one of the bridges in London. And as I walked across the bridge, I would always be walking against the flow of traffic in terms of people walking. So it would be me, pretty much, and a few others, walking against hundreds of people walking towards me. And being in London just makes me feel so small. And there were hundreds of people who don't know Jesus, all walking against me. London is a huge city that needs to be reached for Jesus. And it makes me feel small. But when we feel small, remember that God wins. So, build his church. I want to finish with a story. It's a story about a time capsule. It's a story very specifically to this church. Last week, Luke talked about a foundation stone. So if you had the time and the inclination, you could go into the minis room when it finishes. You could open the cupboard door and you'll see what Luke described as a foundation stone. Still there in the cupboard. Actually, I think there's one behind the TV screen there up on the wall. And when we took over this building, there was a group of 25 adults, three elders, myself, Patrick, and a guy called Nathan. And they gave us all the legal documents. And as we looked through these legal documents, in the legal document was a description of a hidden time capsule. As you can imagine, I was very excited. Patrick was excited. Nathan was excited. It was describing where this capsule was. So, like Indiana Jones, we looked around the building trying to find, and we got to this spot, right here. Where is it? Where is this time capsule? And there was a big stage here, so we dug up the stage, ripped it up. There's a big trench under here, but you didn't know that, did you? There's a trench under there. It was for a baptism pool. So we looked at it, it was disgusting. We looked in there, you can imagine the sorts of things we saw down there. Didn't find it. We felt like we were getting warmer. And eventually, behind this cupboard here, we ripped off the wood, the cladding on the wall. And lo and behold, there was a time capsule concreted into the wall. So we get our crowbar, and we crowbar it out, and there it is, a lead capsule. We open the lead capsule. I think I cut my finger. I remember cutting my finger because I was so excited. Inside the capsule was a glass jar, which surprisingly had been smashed. We opened the jar, and in the jar wasn't this. In the jar was a load of documents. Do you want to see what they were? Here's some of them. It was a leaflet of the laying the foundations for what was called Tanner's End Mission Hall, which is this building. It was the order of service in 1911 that happened a couple of months later. Oh, not that one. It was this, 3 years later. This is great, look at this. This is over 100 years old. I've got to be really careful with this. Look at that. Celebration of the 3 years of Tanner's End Free Church, this building being open. It's very exciting. Over 100 years ago. But my favourite bit was this. Oh, no, go back. Is the bricklaying day. You might think, what are you talking about? Bricklaying. Now, here's what happened, okay? On the bricklaying day, they allowed people to put their initials on the bricks of the building, and then they would put them in the building. So if you go out the front of the building there and actually down this side of the building, you can look around and you'll see bricks with initials of people's names. And some of the names on the right-hand side there. And actually on the back, there's even more names of the children in the church. It was like a metaphor, as it were, for the God's people being the living stones. Do you get that? The living stones that built the church. What year was it? Can you remember? What happened in 1914? First World War. Nation rose against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. What happened in 1939? Second World War. Nation rose against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. What were those people doing? Do you think they were worrying about what's going on in the world? Well, probably to a certain level, because bombs were dropping in Edmonton. But God wins. What were they doing? Building the church. And for over 100 years, they built the church. Silver Street. Brothers and sisters, it's our turn. Do you get that? It's our turn. If you want, maybe don't go outside and engrave your name on the bricks outside. Maybe don't do that. Although some people have tried, I've noticed. You are the living stones. God wins. Build his church. The Lord Jesus has risen. He is on his throne. And he is building his church. Amen?
Amen.
I guess my question for you this morning is this. If you feel discouraged, if you've been distracted, will you refocus? Will you invest new energy in endeavoring to build his church in this community for his glory? Will you do that? Let me finish with some words in Hebrews from my favorite chapter in the Bible. Chapter 12 of Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews calls the church to God's work. And he says, Silver Street, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living gods, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. He finishes the chapter by saying these words. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Do you have a much bigger view of God this morning? Will you build his church? Let's pray. Lord Almighty, you are indeed mighty. You are sovereign, you are in control, you have all power, authority about everything that goes on in this world. We come to you feeling like little fish. Please use us, little fish, to build your church. Please help us to play our part in your story of redemption. And we ask this in Jesus' name, the great Messiah. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand to sing together.
Church, arise and put your armor on. Hear the call of Christ our captain. For now the weak can say that they are strong in the strength that God has given. With shield of faith and belt of truth, we'll stand against the devil's lie. An army bold, whose battle cry is love, reaching out to those in darkness. Our call to war, to love the captive soul, but to rage against the captor, and with the sword that makes the wounded whole, we will fight with faith and valor. When faced with trials on every side, we know the outcome is secure, and Christ will have the price for which he died, an inheritance of nations. See the cross where love and mercy meet, as the Son of God is stricken. Then see his foes like crushed beneath his feet. For the conqueror has risen, and as the stone is rolled away, and Christ emerges from the grave, this victory march continues till the day every eye and heart shall see him. So Spirit, come, put strength in every side, give grace for every burden, that we may run with faith to win the prize of a servant good and faithful. As saints of old still line the way, retelling triumphs of his grace, we hear the call and hunger for the day when with Christ will stand in glory. As saints of old still line the way, retelling triumphs of his grace, we hear the call and hunger for the day when with Christ will stand in glory.
And please do stay around for lunch if you can, soon after the service, in about half an hour's time or so. There's a cooked lunch provided, and puddings as well, homemade desserts. And so you're very welcome to stay, even if you weren't planning to do so. There's always plenty of food to go around. So that's church lunch. There's a suggested donation, but please don't let that stop you from staying. Do contribute if you can. That will help us to keep going. But don't please do stay, even if you haven't got enough cash to stay today. We'd love to have you anyway. As part of that conversation over lunch, there'll be an opportunity for us to talk about the possible appointment of a new paid staff worker here at Silver Street. So we talked about this at our church family meeting, and what we're proposing to the church family is that we appoint a part-time children's, youth and communities worker to help serve the young people of the church and the community, and also in our outreach as we seek to build the church, as we've talked about today. It's a big thing for us as a church, and so we want to have an opportunity to talk about it. So over lunch, at some point, there'll be a chance for questions about that. If you're not able to stay for lunch, but you've got questions, please do email me or talk to one of the elders. We'd love to talk to you about that. If you'd rather do an anonymous question, there is a question box on the welcome desk at the back. Please slip in your questions before lunchtime today, and we'll try and get to as many of them as possible so that we can all be on the same page about what it is we're trying to do here. So that's over lunch. Also, you remember, regarding this gospel worker, if we do go ahead next week, next Sunday, we'll be voting on that as church members, so do come along next Sunday ready to vote on that proposal. And we'd love to know by then how we're looking in terms of budget for it. So if you haven't picked up one of these gospel worker pledge cards, please do so. Again, there's a bunch of them on the welcome desk. If you're a visitor, or if you're not able to give, that is absolutely fine. Please don't feel compelled. But for those of us who are a regular part of the church family, this is who we are, and we are able to contribute in some way. That will really help, because we're aiming to raise a significant chunk of money in order to be able to appoint a worker. And so please do grab one of these, fill it in today, put it in the box. Definitely by next Sunday, it would be great to have an idea about where we're heading. There's more information on the attached letter, so do pick up one of those today. After lunch, there's an opportunity for us to enjoy Jesus together. This is an hour or so in the afternoon that is set aside for us to be able to read the Bible with someone else in the church family, maybe one or two other people. You can share what the Lord has been teaching you through your own time with the Lord, and spend a bit of time with the Lord together to encourage one another, to build one another up as living stones in this building. So that's after lunch today. And then this week, we've also got some opportunities to pray. On Tuesday, we have our regular prayer meeting, 7:45 p.m. here at the building. And can I invite you to come along to the night of prayer on Friday night? From 8 p.m. till midnight, we'll be calling on the name of the Lord about various things, spending time in his presence, delighting in him, praising his name. And we'll also be thinking and praying about our Easter outreach as we seek to make Jesus known in this community. I'd love you to come for the whole of it. If you can't come for the whole of it, at least come for a part of it. There are special evenings, and we are going to be calling on the name of the Lord together on Friday night. And then lastly, Chisomo, did you want to come and say something? Where is she? Hello. Or not really. Shall I say something? Chisomo's going to say something. And maybe we could turn on the reader's mic for Chisomo. Thank you.
Three words, Saturday 30th, fun, come. That's what I
said. That was way more than three, but I'll give you a few.
So this is part of our Easter outreach. Chisomo is going to be running the night and running the quiz. Do come, as Chisomo said, but invite friends as well. The whole point of this is an evangelistic event, an opportunity for us to invite those who don't yet know Jesus to hear something of the message of Jesus. So Nick is going to be doing a short gospel talk. He'll be telling us about the good news of Jesus and why that matters for us. And so maybe someone who doesn't want to come to church on a Sunday, but a friend who would come to a quiz night, they'll hear something of Jesus, they'll meet the people of Jesus. There is a sign-up list at the back on the welcome desk again. So please do sign up your name. If you don't have a team, that's fine. We'll give you a team on the night. But if you've got people that you can invite to bring with you, that's even better. And lastly, to say that as well as the quiz night, that's actually on the back of this leaflet, so you can give this to anyone that you're inviting to the quiz night, as well as the life celebration on the 31st, Sunday the 31st. But this leaflet has a short gospel message based on Isaiah 53, just an introduction, a taster to the person of the Lord Jesus. And so please do make the most of these. We've got, I think, another 1,000 or so to get rid of. So take plenty for your street. Take plenty for your friends and neighbours. Give them out. Ask them to read it and let them know what you think. Let you know what they think. Also, if you'd like to put these through some doors locally, there is a list of streets that we're trying to tick off. Again, that will be at the back. So pick up a bunch of leaflets. Tick off your a name. You'll put your name next to one of the streets. And commit to handing out something of the good news this Easter time. I think that's everything. There's lots of things there. If you remember it all, very well done. Try and remember the main things. Don't know what the main things were, but shall we finish with a prayer? Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for this wonderful vision that we have of you building your kingdom. Thank you that it is a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And we pray that you would continue to extend that eternal kingdom in this community. This Easter time, would many come to know and trust the Lord Jesus? And would you increase your kingdom in our own hearts? Would we each grow in our knowledge and our love and our devotion to you? Would today be a part of that as we encourage one another in your word now? We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming.